Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, understanding the truth of the Scriptures, understanding the Old Testament, the New Testament, the prophecies, the parables, everything that the Bible tells us, because it is a personal message from God to everyone who has a Bible. It is the truth of God, from the God of truth, who wants you to know why you're here, where you're going, who is Jesus Christ, what he did, why he came, that he was God manifested in the flesh. Now, the Gospel of John reveals a great many things concerning Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ, as we have seen in the last several segments. So we're going to continue these segments until we do a survey of the Gospel of John to see how much that was revealed to John concerning the truth of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Redeemer, our sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And it's quite amazing what is here. Now, if you go to our homepage, you will find that we have listed about 50 different articles and literature that you can download right to your own computer. Now, the ones I want you to download, because we're not going to go into a detailed study of what does it mean to be born again or what does it mean to be born of God. Now, that's covering the first 12 verses in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. So I'll leave it up to you to download those and study them. But it's sufficient to say is this, that no one has been born again, because born again means to be raised from the dead. And the only one who has been born again is Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn of Mary and the firstborn from among the dead. And that's what it means to be born again. To be born of water means your physical birth. To be born of spirit means to be raised from the dead. Has nothing to do with baptism. That is a false interpretation and perversion of the Scriptures by those who were the forerunners to the Roman Catholic Church. So I'll leave those first 12 verses for you to study on your own. Now let's begin with verse 13, and we will see how John ends the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, which had to be conveyed to all the disciples by Jesus, because no one else was there except Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, we're going to see many similar verses to verse 13 as we go through the book of John. A lot of people don't believe that he came from heaven. But that's what John wrote, and that's what Jesus said. Now here, verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven except he who came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. That is, at the time that John was writing this, he is in heaven. Present tense. Now, then John begins to be teaching here about the sacrifice of Christ. And also, this tells us who Jesus is. The Son of Man, the Savior of the world, the only begotten of God the Father, is all reiterated here in these verses in John, the third chapter. And so this is what John is writing about, and this becomes very important for us to understand. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, in the same way it is ordained that the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now, I want to stop here, and I'll get just a little technical with the Greek. In the Greek, there is what is called the subjunctive tense. And the subjunctive tense of the verb means that it is conditional. And being conditional is expressed by the word may. The King James translates it as should. Should does not convey conditional. Should is just a little less in force than the word shall. Should almost means it's due to you if you believe. But that's not what the Greek conveys, because it's in the subjunctive, and any Greek professor who really knows the Greek will admit that these phrases may be saved, may have everlasting life, are conditional, because that's what the subjunctive tense is. All right, let's read on. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish." Conditional. What are the conditions? That's what the rest of the New Testament tells us. It's not should not perish. It is may not perish, which then tells us what? That there are conditions that you may perish, right? And what would that be? That would be if you committed the unpardonable sin. See, just to believe in Jesus the way that most Protestants do is so superficial and shallow that it doesn't last. At best, it may be, if I could use a subjunctive myself, a beginning first step. But is it really a truly a beginning first step unless there's repentance and baptism and walking into faith, enduring to the end, and all of those are the conditions so that you may not perish? Now let's continue on. But may have everlasting life. So this is not a guarantee. Oh, I believe in Jesus. How many people believe in Jesus? Well, there are so many different forms of Jesus and so many different Jesuses out there today that you've got to know that you're believing in the true Jesus, the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary, the one who was God manifested in the flesh, the one who voluntarily gave his life to be crucified and to die for the sins of the world. That's the one you have to believe in, and this is what the Bible is really teaching us. This is the Word of God, you see. Now, verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world that he might judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And in doing that and living the way that he did, Jesus said later that his words will judge us in the last day. So, question, what are the words of Jesus? Well, the words of Jesus are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now let me explain something concerning the Gospels and the book of Acts as it's placed in the Bible the way it should in its original order. There are seven divisions of the Bible. The first three are the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, or the beginning with the book of Psalms. The middle portion is the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. That's the middle part of the Bible, and that is the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament and connecting the two together. The fifth division of the Bible is the seven general epistles written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, Peter, John, and Jude. The sixth division of the Bible are the epistles of the Apostle Paul, and he wrote 14 of them. The seventh division of the Bible is the book of Revelation, and the reason that the book of Revelation, a single book, is a separate division of the Bible is because the whole book of Revelation cannot be understood unless you have a good working knowledge of the whole Bible. Now, John then began to explain about how judgments automatically come. This is important to realize. When you sin, you have the judgment of your sin upon you, and you reap the reward of sin, or the wages of sin. Reason it's called wages is because sin constitutes our own works, your works and my works, separate from God. That's why it's wages of sin is death. And that judgment comes automatically. Most people don't realize it. So let's read what the Apostle John wrote. Verse 18, the one who believes in him is not judged, but the one who does not believe has already been judged because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus doesn't have to reach out and judge whenever someone does something. The judgment is already there. And when you sin, it brings judgment within you as well. Just like when people go out and take drugs and become addicted, the sin becomes inherent within their being, and they're destroying their bodies, and that is the judgment that automatically takes place when you take drugs. Now, likewise, when you follow a religion, even though it may profess to be Christian, if you follow that religion and you don't do what Jesus says and you don't believe in the Bible and you really don't believe in him because you're really not in a covenant relationship with him, then you also have the judgment upon you for that. Judgment continually comes upon everyone at all times according to the Word of God and their behavior. So if you have the Spirit of God, and you're under grace, and you have a relationship with God, and you repent of your sins, and constantly are repenting, because the longer that you're converted, the more deep is your repentance. And the washing of the water by the Word, which Jesus exercises in our lives, cleanses our hearts and minds from the sin. That's why, in believing in Jesus, we are not judged under condemnation. Now let's see what it says here. Here is the judgment. You don't believe in God? Bang, the judgment's on you. You don't believe in the Word of God? Bang, the judgment is upon you. You reject this part of the Word of God? The judgment is upon you. Let's read it. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. They don't want to admit that they're evil. Well, I'm doing good. But what is good if it's not defined by the Word of God? That becomes a subjective opinion by you or the one making the judgment. Ah, well, you know, we don't have to worry about those commandments and, you know, the two commandments that are the most obsolete today. Actually, let's make it three. Are the Sabbath commandment, adultery, and covetousness? Why, the modern world couldn't operate today if everybody kept the Sabbath? Why, you know, there's so much unfaithfulness going around that adultery is kind of like a hobby that men and women indulge in. Well, you can't condemn them for that. They're having fun. The whole modern world's business system is based on greed, you know. Greed is good, as they say. Well, you have your judgment. Look at the troubles that they have. Look at the troubles that people have when they reject God and His Word. Look at the troubles that people have when they commit sex sins, whatever description they are. And look at the trouble that people have when they get involved in covetousness and lust. And that leads to lying and cheating and stealing. And all of that then is sanctioned by the god of this world, Satan, the devil. See? So the judgment is on you. And here's what happens. Verse 20, for everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light so that his works may not be exposed. Oh, no. Hey, don't judge me, man. The judgment has already come. They're cut off from God. They're living in sin. They reject the truth. And their judgment has come upon them. Notice verse 21. Notice what we are to do. And this also tells us who Jesus is. Because in John 14 and verse 6, and we'll cover that again later, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, God's way is very exclusive. God does not accept the religions of the world. God does not accept the Christianity of the world when they reject His Word. Notice what it says here. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light. We keep coming to Christ, who is the light. Isn't that what we read in John, the first chapter? Yes. And this means coming to the light. You come to the light every day. You pray every day. You study every day. You love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. And that is the passion of your life. And that is the reason of your calling. And that's the purpose as to why you have been born. And you come to the light so that His works may be manifested, that they have been accomplished by the power of God, because it's Christ in you and God in you that gives you the desire to practice the truth. Now then, John continues explaining about Jesus. This gives us another clue as to who He was, who He is, where He came from. Verse 31. And he who comes from above is above all, and the one who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, this is what he testifies, but no one receives his testimony. This is John writing about the truth of God. Who is this Jesus? Where did he come from? Well, he was God manifested in the flesh, to come and teach and preach and to live like every other human being and yet never sin, that he might save mankind. But God has to do the calling, and it's in His plan and in His time. That's why you need the book called Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, because it tells you about it. And that's why you need the book, Harmony of the Gospels, so you can have the full ministry of Christ laid out in chronological order, and you can understand exactly how Jesus fulfilled His ministry. Now let's see something else that's important. Can you say this of yourself? And if so, then you're beginning to be on the right track. Let's read it, because this tells us something very important in relationship unto how we may receive eternal life and what we need to do and what we need to believe. Now let's read it. Verse 33, the one who has received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is inspired of His Holy Spirit. Properly translated, it conveys the same authority as the original. Do you believe that? Have you set your seal that God is true, that God is love, that God is merciful, that God is kind, that God is patient, that God is long-suffering, that God is forgiving upon repentance? Then you set your seal that God is true. Now, what that means is this. That's like writing a letter of affirmation. And what they did when they sent a letter, they sealed it with wax, with a stamp, or with the insignia and the initials of the one who sent it. So then when it was delivered, the one receiving it would know that that was the true message which came from that person. So that's what it means here, has set his seal that God is true. Now, verse 34, for he whom God sends speaks the words of God. That's referring to Christ. But whoever God sends also speaks the words of God. And God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. That's why you have to come through Jesus Christ. You're not going to have eternal life through Buddhism. You're not going to have it through Hinduism. You're not going to have it through Islam or Protestantism or Catholicism. Those are all religions of men inspired by Satan the devil and have nothing to do with the truth except as they steal some of the words of God while they cast the law of God behind them, you see. Now notice, the one who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and that is belief unto death. And that death is first demonstrated by baptism. This is just not to say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh, I have everlasting life. No, it's the deep belief. It is the practicing of the truth as we read before. Has eternal life because you have the Spirit of God in you. And that's where the Spirit of God needs to be, in you. But the one who does not obey the Son shall not see life. Do you obey Jesus Christ? Do you know the words of Jesus Christ? Do you know what he taught? Do you believe what he taught? That's why the fourth division of the Bible, the Gospels and the Acts, so that you have the words of Christ. Have you ever thought about it this way? The New Testament is much like this. What if you had an opportunity to sit down and talk to Jesus Christ personally? What would he say to you? What's written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And is taught and preached by the apostles in the book of Acts. See? Now notice. The one who does not obey the Son shall not see life, for the wrath of God remains on him. Now that's why you need the book, The Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English. This will give you all the words of Christ and his teaching, laid out in a step-by-step chronological way. Now, if you're just getting started, you also need this book. And if you need extra copies to give to other people, write in form, order them. You can write, you can phone, you can email this book, Lord, What Should I Do? Because we are living in the end times when the return of Christ is going to be not too many years down the road. How far along it is, we don't know. Because no man knows the day or the hour, but we know the times and the seasons based upon the holy days and how we see that things are being fulfilled according to the prophecies in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. So once again, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And so until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.